Bible says, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Father, we pray you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the reception of your word. Fill me up with your Holy Ghost, God. Let me decrease and you increase. Speak to your people, pastor your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, if you've been with us for any time, we've been in the book of Acts, and in Acts chapter 3, amen, we notice Peter and John going to the temple to pray. When they go into the temple to pray, they meet a man at the beautiful gate, and he's lame. That means paralyzed from his mother's womb. The Bible says when he reaches out for a handout, a donation, Peter and John say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Bible says that the man was instantly healed and began to, hallelujah, walk and leap and praise God. Hallelujah. Rightly so, a crowd begins to congregate around Peter and John and the healed man. And Peter begins to preach unto them Jesus, hallelujah, commanding them to repent and believe, be converted so that God could blot out their sins. The Bible tells us that after Peter preaches the gospel, around 5,000 people get saved. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 1, the authorities come, the rulers, the elders, the leaders of Israel, the priests, and the captain of the guards. They come and they lay hands on Peter and John. They arrest them, amen, as though they were breaking some law. Peter and John find themselves spending the night in jail, and they wake up and they're drugged before the Sanhedrin, which is the high court of Israel. It's kind of like our Supreme Court or the Senate of the United States. When the Sanhedrin looks upon Peter and John, they ask him two questions. By what power and by what name? The Bible told us by what power Peter did what he did. Hallelujah. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible told us, hallelujah, that Peter answered the question by what name with boldness. And we talked about boldness last week or a couple of weeks ago. Peter told them about the name of Jesus. And how there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. And Peter preached that. The Sanhedrin looked at them and came to realize that they both were unlearned and ignorant men. And the Bible meant when it says unlearned, ignorant men, it meant that they were uneducated, non-professional men. Who were not taught and brought up at the feet of the rabbinical schools and feet of Gamaliel like Paul was. But they were fishermen. But God can use regular men and regular women, Brother Mike. The secret is point number 3 that we covered last week. The Bible says, well, how could they do all of that? They was unlearned. They were ignorant. What was the secret? They had been with Jesus. And we talked about salvation. We talked about you being with Jesus in relationship, in Christos. We talked about you being with Jesus, amen, and praying and reading the word and fellowshipping with his people. And when you are with Jesus, God is going to take your ordinary life and do extraordinary things. But the key is being with Jesus. Come on, give the Lord some glory, amen. So listen, we picked up in verse 14, amen, for today. We pick up in verse 14, and the title of the message this morning is, they could say nothing. Somebody say that with me. They could say nothing. And we'll have 3 points, and we'll just cover 2 this morning. And next Sunday, we'll come and cover, amen, the 3rd point. But the Bible says, number 1, hallelujah, the 1st point we'll have is beholding the man. The 2nd point we'll have, they conferred among themselves. And the 3rd point is this, a notable miracle. And we'll cover, amen, there's no points up there, huh? Hallelujah. We'll cover 3 points, 2 points today. And the 3rd point, we'll leave for, hallelujah, maybe, yeah, we'll leave for next Sunday. Beholding the man, they conferred among themselves and a notable miracle. Without further ado, let's begin with our first point, beholding the man. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing. The Bible says beholding the man. And what it's saying is that the Sanhedrin, the rulers, the elders, the leaders, the captain of the guard, they were looking at the man that was at the beautiful gate. He was standing up in their midst. They were beholding the man. Now you got to understand, they all knew this man. They all knew him, Mike, because he was at that beautiful gate every day, asking for a donation every day. They knew him well. You see what I'm saying? They not only knew him, listen, we don't know how long he was standing at that gate, Miss Carol. We know he was over 40 years old, and we know that he had this condition since his mother's womb. So listen, you can infer and you can speculate, maybe, hey, he might have been at that gate since he was a little boy. He could have been at that gate 30 years, 20 years, 10 years. A year would have been a lot. But every day going to prayer, the Jews and the leaders twice a day would see this same man at the beautiful gate sitting in his condition. And nobody can help him. You see what I'm saying? And the Bible tells us, amen, that the man, hallelujah, that they were beholding, they knew that he wasn't a disciple. Brother Brian, they knew he wasn't a disciple. They knew he wasn't a believer in Jesus. You see? They knew he wasn't somebody that the disciples paid and say, listen, come on over to the gate and we're going to act like we're healing you, like some of them boys doing on TV and on YouTube and stuff like that. We're going to pay you $25. When we lay hands on you, jump up and start breakdancing. You know what I'm saying? They got some people that do that. Oh, you know what I'm saying? You see? But when they was beholding the man, Tyrone, they knew that that wasn't no fake. They had watched him there. They knew he wasn't faking. They knew he wasn't a disciple. They knew he wasn't paid to act like that. They were beholding a miracle. The Bible says, beholding the man which was healed. Let's just take it. We're going to break it down piece by piece. Beholding the man which was healed. The Bible says that the man was healed. Now, when you study the Bible, it's important to go back to the Greek and to the Hebrew. But even going deeper than just going to the Greek and the Hebrew, you want to learn how to go to the tenses. Because, listen, Greek and Hebrew have tenses. Present tense, past tense, perfect tense. And all of that means something when you study in the scriptures. The Bible says, which was healed, is written in what we call the perfect tense. It means that the man wasn't half healed. He wasn't quasi-healed. He wasn't partially healed. He was completely and totally, utterly healed right before their eyes, standing up there with a pair of brand new legs. You understand what I'm saying? Not wobbling, but walking. Not limping, but leaping. You with me so far? He probably jump on a track and race Usain Bolt with these brand new legs from heaven. You see what I'm saying? They will be holding the man which was what? Which was healed. His legs were in complete working order. He was completely healed. The Bible says they were beholding the man which was healed. And what was he doing? He was standing with them. You see what I'm saying? The man was with them. He was standing in the company of Peter and John. Glued to them. Wouldn't move. You see? Now listen to me. We were not told that the man was arrested with Peter and John. He wasn't arrested with them. We were not told that the man was taken to prison with Peter and John. He wasn't taken to prison with them. But even though they were arrested, even though they were taken to prison, even though they were brought before the Sanhedrin, even though they were talked about, even though they was trying to do good, guess who was right there with them, standing by them? The man that was healed. Anybody hear me up in here? You see, we're going to get deep into it. Listen to me. This man must have watched them get arrested, y'all, after they raised him up, lifted him up when he couldn't walk. You couldn't imagine this man as a kid, everybody playing, all of his friends playing sports, and he wishing, boy, if I could just play that. Everybody jumping around, running. He said, man, oh, God, I wish that one day. You know, every man going to work for his family out there and got a skill, laboring, carpentry, amen, something like that, masonry, bricklaying, and he just watching, boy, if I could have a wife and work like that. And that day came. The apostles came through in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Amen. And right after he healed him, guess who came? The authorities came and arrested him. This man looked at him and said, "He arrested the people who gave me, that God used to give me, that which I've been waiting for 40 years. You see what I'm saying? He watched them get arrested. But he just didn't watch them, y'all. He followed them. He followed them to jail on the brand new legs that he received. He put them to work. He found out when the arraignment would be. He either slept outside the jail or showed up early the next morning. Amen. And when court came in session, it was Peter, John, and the man with the brand new legs. Standing with them. You see? He was standing with them, y'all, because he was grateful. He was thankful for what God had done for him through them. Oh God, have mercy, somebody. He was so grateful that he couldn't leave their presence. He was so grateful. You see? Let me take my time. Come on, Pastor, take your time. Come on, throw it out. Develop it, baby. Don't start now. Hold up. Whoa! The apostles were in the judgment hall, and he was right there. And because he was standing with them, Brother Randy, the Bible says in the very next precept, they could say nothing. You see? Because he was standing with them. You see, if he wasn't there, they could have talked about Peter and John. Y'all some fakes. Y'all casting out devils in the name of the devil. Y'all using the power of Beelzebub. But because the man was grateful enough to walk with him and stand right on the side of them, they couldn't say nothing, because if they would have said, "You casting out devils by the prince of the devil," that man would have said, "The devil is a liar. I heard the name he called over me." You know what I'm saying? Oh, no. Y'all paid somebody to stand up. That man would have said, "Now, Timmy, you know I've been there since you." Because he was standing with them, they could say nothing. They could say nothing. No reply. No response. No rebuttal. They could say nothing. Because the change that happened to the man was real. And it could not be denied. One preacher said when they watched that man walk in with Peter and John, that he had an undeniable walk that they couldn't talk against. Another preacher said that when Peter finished his sermon with his mouth, the man that was raised up, the lame man, started preaching with his feet. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Some of y'all not old enough to know that dance. Y'all would rather me be anywhere. What y'all want? I only got three of them. I can't do too many. I've been saved long. Glory. Yeah. The verity of the name, the truthfulness of the name of Christ was confirmed by the miracle. But also the proof of the man, the men of God, was confirmed by the miracle as well. He was standing there to prove the power of the name and the truthfulness, the verity of the ministry that Peter and John had. Pastor, what does this have to do with me? Verse 14. Oh, for a church that would preach with his feet today. Oh, for a church that had a change that everyone could see and could not deny. Oh, for a church with, like this man, an undeniable walk. Oh, for a church when they knew you beforehand, see such power fall upon you, see a change in your situation so prevalent that you would close the mouth of every naysayer to the name of Jesus, amen, and the churches that Jesus is behind. Oh, God! For people, a God, with an undeniable walk. Listen to me good. Just like this man, they knew you once. They knew you since a child, just like this man. They knew every time you got arrested, every time you got suspended, every time you got expelled. They knew like you live for fighting. You wake up fighting and you sleep. You want to fight everybody. They knew that you used to steal. You take the five-finger discount, stick your fingers, they used to call you. They knew when something happened in the neighborhood and turned up missing, oh, that's little Johnny, go behind the shed, pull the milk crates back. He got your bike and he also stole my necklace. Can you bring it back when you get it? They know you. They know every drug you sold. They know every drug you did. They know every woman that you've been with. And they know every man that stopped by the house and blow the horn and pick you up. Oh, God. Somebody saying, it's a real church, man. It's my first time here. I'm about to read my mail already. Listen, I'm just looking at the envelope. I'm about to open it. You see, they know that you was born lame, sick with sin, since your mother's womb. Oh, but when you get saved. Oh, but when the miracle hits you. Oh, but when God come down, amen, and completely heal you with that gospel. When you come to this altar, you admit you're a sinner, you believe in Jesus Christ, him crucified and risen, and you confess him with your mouth like we do every Sunday. And that real change come over you, that real miracle come over you. Woo! And the people you grew up look at you and say, Raven, that's you? No offense to Raven, I'm just saying. It put to silence the naysayers. When they behold your salvation and the life that you live after salvation, and they know the sins that used to hold you bound, the Bible teaches us that the naysayers could say nothing. You know how many people say that this Bible is false? You know how many people say that Jesus was just a good man? You know how many people talk about y'all coming to church and that we just playing games up in here? Yeah, they could talk all they want. But when they see the proof of your life, that you're not, maybe you're not what you ought to be, but you for sure not what you used to be. Hey, when they see that, you know what happens? They could say, no, oh, come on, somebody. The proof is in the pudding. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, because everybody got an argument. But you can't argue my life and my experience. We done tried every program, 12-step, 13, 14, hopscotch, everything. Ain't no step work but the step into Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hey, and the risen Savior. Hey, God. Yeah. But that's the way it is. If the world, Mr. Tyrone, would see a church that lived out 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, all those empty churches in Lafayette would be filled. Because the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means that if you are saved, legitimately, the Bible says he is a new creature. It's not that you're a new person, though. You're a whole new creature. It's broader than just being a new person. You're a new creature. Salvation takes you from just being a man to God taking his spirit, pouring it inside of you, sealing you, and now you are a man with the living God inside of you. You're not just a new person. You a new creation. The world ain't never saw this before. Woo! The angels marvel at it. Wow! You know what I'm saying? A new creature. You're not only a new creature because of that new creation and God's seed being in you. The Bible says old things are what? Are passed away. That means I can't do the things I used to do. I can't talk like I used to talk. I can't fight like I used to fight. I can't smoke. I can't get high. I can't drink like I used to drink. There's something in me that's not the same no more. Old things are passed away. They got some people claiming to be saved, but they still in the old ways. No, that's not salvation. That's not being born again. Salvation is a total radical work where you change completely. Jesus told Nicodemus, don't come here thinking that you know the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. You must be born again. That's salvation. Old things are passed away. And listen, behold, all things are become new, not some things. When we get saved, we look at life in a totally different way. You take a people that would never come to church and turn them into some every Sundayers. You know what I'm saying? Take a people that would never listen to worship, and now they turn in your car and you're blaring that, hallelujah, that worship. You know what I'm saying? Totally changing. All things have become new. You look at your life, the life of your children, your marriage, you look at the world and the worldview, the styles, the trends, the morals of this world, everything is brand new. It's like you're looking at things through new eyes. That's salvation. You see what I'm saying? And not only is everything new, amen, but the Bible says in Ezekiel 36, 26, look at it here. Hallelujah. Moreover, God says, I'm going to give you a new what? A new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone. Pastor, what's that? Well, before you're saved to God, you got a heart of stone. Because when he's trying to get your attention, you won't listen. When he's trying to get you to obey his word going forth and it's bouncing clean off your heart, you don't want to do him, you want to do you. But when you get saved, he take away that old disobedient heart. That heart that want to do everything that God don't want it to do. You know what I'm saying? He take away that heart of stone from your flesh and he give you a heart of flesh. Now, what's that, Pastor? It's a transition. It's a contrast. I'm going to take that boulder-like stone heart you got that's impervious to my word and to my spirit, and I'm going to give you a soft heart, a malleable heart, a heart that when I speak, you're going to feel me. A heart when I say no, you're going to stop. A heart when I say turn left, you're going to turn left. A heart that when you do wrong, I'm going to convict you, and that heart going to be so soft, tears going to fall from your eyes, even though you're trying to play tough. I done heard some men say, listen, when I got saved, I ain't cried like that since I was 2 years old at Girard Park, amen, when they told me to leave the jungle gym. Hey, God, I'm crying. Why? It's a symbol, it's proof of a new heart. It's a new heart. He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. You see, I'm going to take away that stony heart and give you a heart of flesh, a malleable heart. What else he says? I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Now look, who's causing you to do the statutes? Him. When we get saved, yeah, we want to do the statutes, but he's going to give you the strength to do it, the will to do it, the power to do it. We got some people not walking in the statutes claiming to be saved. God just told us, when I save you, I'm going to cause you to walk in it. You ain't going to have no choice but to walk up in this. Don't mean you're not going to have your slip-ups and your falls, but most of the time, as a consistent pattern of your life, you're going to be walking after God. Why? For they that are born again cannot live in habitual sin because his seed is within them. We born from above. A lot of people say, I'm saved and living like the devil. Boy, you ain't saved. Saved from what? Saved from what? No, no, no. Salvation is him putting his spirit, putting that heart in us. Listen, it's a radical change. And causing us to walk in his statutes and to keep his judgments. Listen to me. The church right now, as a whole, you know, is a funny church. It's a fickle church. The proof of salvation is obedience. You shall know them by their fruits. What I find is that the church, amen, is not real obedient in the commandments of God. But they do a lot of works. They do a lot of works. Me and my wife was riding the other day, and she was asking me about a certain situation. And I told her the scripture out of 1 Samuel 15:22. When Saul was like sacrificing and he didn't do what God told him to do. And Samuel told Saul, he said, for obedience is better than sacrifice. We living in a church age of sacrifice and not obedience. What you mean, Pastor? Well, the church looked like the Red Cross. It looked like Goodwill. If you saw Red Cross in the news this week, amen, they fussed at somebody for praying in front of Red Cross. Now, they're going to do all the works. I know your works, but you've forgotten your first. Oh, God, I know your works, but you've forgotten your first love. Now, listen to me. We want to do works, yeah. We want to do good things. We won't cook for people. We won't fix bikes. We won't clean up. But that's sacrifice. Don't you ever think that God values sacrifice more than your day-to-day living obedience? Don't you ever do that? That and I'm telling you, that's what the churches do. Yeah. Or they go overseas and stuff like that, do all fix all kind of huts, but come back and live like the devil in their life. You ever met somebody like that? Oh, they're going to do the work and they're going to cut up like the Red Cross. We're here. We're going to fix up everything. But while you're not there and you turn your back, they're trying to sleep with your wife. Listen to me. The new work that God do in us is mostly in God's heart about obedience. I don't want us to be like them fickle churches out there. That's the New Age Laodicean church. That's the Sardis church that got a name like it lived, but it's dead. I ain't going to get into no denominations. You know what I'm saying? But the fact of the matter is, they go out there and do all those works. Now, listen. Oprah doing those works. The Red Cross doing those works. Goodwill doing those works. Lost people doing those works. What separate us from the world is not those little works, but it's our obedience to the Most High God. That when our God said, thou shalt not bear false witness, I don't lie. When my God said, thou shalt not commit adultery, I ain't sleep with nobody. Why? When God tell me, thou shalt not steal, and I don't steal. Listen, Philip, if you need to know the heart of your pastor and what your pastor would like, eh, God, and the people of God in this here church, listen to me. We love obedience rather than sacrifice. Because anybody can do those works, friends. Anybody can do those works. Listen to me. How you living, dog? You know what would burn me up the most? People that do those little good deeds, but on the cool, live like the devil. You ever met somebody that's going to do you good, cook for you, but stab you in the back? You ever met that? And look, be the first one acting godly. God, hold on, Pastor. My Negro, and nobody else see you, but I see you. Listen to me good. Obedience. Do what the Lord see do. And after obedience, yeah, you could throw some works in that sacrifice, but obedience. Watch the church today. Watch how they going out and do all those works. The world want us to be a Red Cross. That do the good works, but don't carry his name, don't carry his gospel, don't do what God want us to do. That's what they want us to do. That's what they want to relegate us to, you know? And let me tell you, the church is doing the most works it's ever done, and it's the most empty it's ever been, and it's the most lawless it's ever been, and it's the most carnal it's ever been. I have a different ministry outlook, a different vision for Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? The Bible tells us that beholding this man and his changed life, as they behold your changed life, your obedience to him, something is going to happen. It's going to hush their mouth. It's going to hush their mouth. They're not going to be able to say nothing. Not you picking up trash in the yard. That ain't going to do nothing. That ain't gonna do nothing. But your obedience, that you've been delivered from drugs and alcohol, that you've been, but that's a miracle. And they ain't gonna be able to say nothing. You know? Listen to me good. That's what happens at salvation. And that's a change that can't be denied. As Christians, we must be careful to walk in his ways. The world is watching. We can either be evidence to exalt the name of Christ or give our enemies, amen, an opportunity to blaspheme the name. And it's not about our little works that we do, but it's about our obedience. That's number one. Come on, give God some glory. Woo! Now let me shift into overdrive here. The Bible says not only could they see the man and the changingness of his situation, but the man was standing where? With them. Listen to me good here. He was standing where? With who? Peter and John. You can't just let God deliver you from your past and work a miracle in your life and then mess around, leave God, or leave the people that God worked through to help you. This man, after he received Randy his miracle, he didn't leave Peter and John, no. He stayed there with him. And it was important he stayed there with him. Because of him being there, Mr. Tyrone, the other naysayers couldn't say nothing. He was their proof. Remember, if he would have never showed up, they could have said anything they wanted about the men of God. Pastor, where you going with this? Listen to me good. Listen to me good in him. Those of us who've been saved must appear before the naysayers. Montgomery, we got to give a two-part testimony. We got to testify, number one, to the power of the name of Jesus. But number two, we have to testify for the men of God that Jesus used to deliver us. The Bible said he was standing with who? With them. Oh, break it down some more, Pastor. When they brought up lies to the man of God, listen, he was right there saying, oh no, that's not how it went down. It reminds me of when Jesus healed the man that was blind. Y'all remember that in John chapter 9, 25? The Pharisees were saying, he of the devil, he not right. In 9:25, listen, the guy said he was blind. He said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not one thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. You could talk about him what he wants. You could say what you want about him. But I know that God done move in my life through them. Oh, come on, somebody. If this man were not of God, this dude said, he could do nothing. Listen, the lame man was Peter and John's evidence. Bring it real to me, Pastor. Listen, as we embark upon this new journey of gathering God's people, you know that people gonna talk about me? They doing it already, Mike. They gonna talk about me, they gonna attack me. I'm talking about leaders in the church. Now listen, listen, listen. This ain't never happened until this happened. Until God raised up somebody that cared about you. That's when the attacks start. Now listen to me now. Listen to me. Listen to me. They gonna attack me, and they already attack him. And they telling lies about me. Just like the Sanhedrin pulled these two men before the Sanhedrin. But when they pulled Peter and John, guess who was standing with them? The man that had received a miracle. Pastor, what you asking of us? I'm asking you to stand with me. You with me so far? I'm asking you to stand with me. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Montgomery. I'm asking you to stand with me. You know what I'm saying? Because listen to me now. Listen to me. The attack's going to come. And they're going to talk about your pastor. But listen. My evidence. My evidence. My evidence that God is with me. And been with me. My evidence is you. And listen. Ain't nothing worse when a lawyer show up for court and his evidence don't arrive. Some of y'all hear people talk about me, and even some people in here talk, and y'all don't stand with me. Imagine if that man received that miracle and was blessed like he was blessed and just went about his business and turned his back on the vessels that God used. That's not gratitude. They're going to talk about me, dog. And listen, just like I was here when you needed me, when the marriage was on the rocks, when you was living in sin, when you didn't know the Lord, and I brought to you that gospel, and it changed your life, and you've been able to get cars and houses, including the intangible blessings, I was with you. Now, when they bring me before the Sanhedrin, and the naysayers begin to talk about me, because I love my people, because I'm after my people, I need to know this morning who gonna stand with me. That's what I need to know. Who gonna stand with me? Stand to your feet if you gonna stand with your pastor. Stand to your feet if you're going to stand with your pastor. Yeah. Yeah. You may be seated. You may be seated. Listen to me. That's all I'm asking for you. Not to be quick to turn your back on me after you get your miracle. Not to do me, amen, like that. Stand with me. Paul had the same problem. Paul had the same problem. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 2, listen, they was messing with Paul. They say, Paul, you're not an apostle. You ain't no even good for the church. These other new cats, these other morning ministers that came up one morning, and that's the ones we're going to follow. You ain't even an apostle. And Paul writing in chapter 9, Paul addressing the naysayers. Paul say, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am an apostle to you. For the seal of my apostleship are you in the Lord. Now look, let me show you that in the NLT. In the NLT, even in others think that I'm not a pastor and talk about me. I certainly am a pastor to you. Look. You yourselves are my proof that I'm the Lord's pastor. You see what I'm saying? You know I'm just kind of, I'm relating it to me right here. I'm not changing the script. I'm relating it to me. Now listen to me. When the bar was in court, their proof was there. Where you at when the naysayers talk? Now listen to me. Now, they can't disprove the Hebrew doctrine. They can't come up with no evidence that is false. But the naysayer is going to come with nitpicky little things about the way I lead the church, or about the way I do this, or about the way I do that. One of the things that I heard on the wind, they was mad because I put my picture on the flyer. Well, that's some idiots, huh? Now, we trying to bring God's people back from Egypt, and you're talking about a picture on the fly. Listen, you don't even know me. You don't even know me. Because after the campaign, who I come and give the glory to? Who I come and give all the glory to? I put that picture on the handout because I'm also on TV, and they're going to relate a face with a ministry, and they know to trust this face, amen, and they're going to come out. And guess what? It worked. But when they came, hallelujah, to receive the honor and the glory, who you think the man in the picture received the glory? Nah, we give the glory to Almighty God. You don't know me. Listen. One person in first service said you just wanted your picture on that. Secondly, amen, if your picture was on that, you wouldn't have gave God the glory. You're tripping, man. You're tripping, man. You don't know me. You don't know me. Listen, and for those that be in the presence of that, don't stand with me, man. Stand with me. You know how your life was when you came in here. You was like that lame man. You was like that lame man. How would that would have been if the Sanhedrin would have started reading charges against Peter and John, and the lame man would have been like, yep, you know you're right. Boy, you're a Judas. You're a traitor. Pastor, what you're asking from us, stand with me. Be my proof. Be my proof. Don't let no naysayers come between me and you. You know what I'm saying? Don't let no naysayers come between me and you. Come on, give God some glory. You my evidence. Point number two. They conferred among themselves. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 15, and when they conferred among themselves, and when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they what? They conferred among themselves. You see? The Bible starts off verse 15 saying, but is a conjunction of an opposite nature. And so what it's telling us is that they saw the miracle. They saw the man. They had nothing to say but. However, yet and still, even though they're not going to act consistent what they know and what they see. You know? What happened? But they commanded them to go aside out of the council. One commentator said it like this. When they should have been put at the head of the council, they were put out the council. Peter and John should have been made the high priest right then and there. They had the miracle. They had the word. They had the sermon. They was with Jesus, the Messiah, everything. Listen, the Sanhedrin had no proof, no evidence. They should have just surrendered right then. But they put them outside the council. The council heard the sermon, saw the miracle. They should have checked their Bibles, prayed, and said we was wrong. We crucified the Messiah. Let us repent, turn to Jesus, because there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. But I want to tell you, even though people have nothing to say, they still won't believe sometimes. Now they ain't got nothing to say about the Hebrew doctrine. But they still not going to believe. They see the miracles happen when we go out for campaign. Stop the weather. People get saved. People come out. God do all that stuff. Listen. And they still won't believe. But, wonderful campaign. But, the 500 historic flood didn't affect us. But, the rain stopped right before we started. But, the power of God showed up, but the wind of God blew on their faces, but listen to me. Don't let nobody talk to you right now. The devil's going to distract. Listen to me good. Listen to me good. But, and I'm going to talk about that next week, how though people see miracles in the move of God, and sometimes their heart's so hard, so full of sin, so full of themselves, they still not going to see God moving. Thank you, Montgomery. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Bible says, but they commanded them to go aside out of the council, and they conferred among themselves. Pastor, what does that mean? That means they had a private meeting. The Sanhedrin talk among themselves. They call a meeting. Amen. Shh, 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 shh. Hush it up. Let's talk about some things. Now, they never conferred with the Lord, Michelle. Look at your Bible. They conferred what? Among themselves. They never prayed about it, no. They conferred among themselves. They never searched the scriptures to study eschatology and what was really going on in the day in which we live in. And no. They conferred among themselves. They never checked with the Holy Ghost, amen. They never checked with the Son of God. They never checked with the Most High God. They conferred among themselves. And what we got to understand is this. Just because a group of people get together and have a meeting, it don't mean that they're right. Oh! Come on, second service. Let me pastor you for a second. It don't mean they're right. It don't mean they're right. You have to confer with God. You have to confer with God. And so there's going to be some naysayers coming. But I'm telling you, they're not conferring with God. I'm telling you that right now. They're not conferring with God. Off the top. Listen to me. You can discern the signs of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the time. I want you to ask yourself, look at my calling. And look what I've been given to by the Lord. Look at your calling. Look what you've been given. Judge between me and thee. Will there be some things that God revealed to me that he not going to reveal to you? Look at our callings. Look at what I am. Look at what I'm called to do. You think the people understood everything that Moses was doing? Oh, yeah. I had a meeting, man. One of the brothers was grateful enough and man enough to come and meet with me about the divisions. You You know? And I praise God that the brother came. And I say, my brother, I say, why more people ain't coming to me if they got these issues instead of shoo-shooing and talking like some cowards? He said, Pastor, you're going to cut them up with the scriptures. I say, that may be true. That may be, and I will. But at least you're going to come and ask me myself what's going on in my heart. All right? Now, Mike, what they saying? They saying I ain't preaching the gospel. Idiots. I ain't preaching the gospel. I taught you the gospel. I begot you in the faith. I ain't preaching the gospel. Every day you see the ABC come up. I ain't preaching. What? Did you know the gospel before you came here? Nope. You're out of order. You're out of order. I ain't preaching the gospel. But we drawn away by our own lust. A lot of the things we believe is because that's already in us. And Hebrews got a problem, man. We got a problem with authority. Because we a generation with no mamas and no daddies. With mamas and daddies that's no good. With daddies that done spoke to us promises that never come to pass. Because of that, we take that baggage and we bring that into our spiritual relationships with our spiritual fathers. And just like they used to talk about your daddy, your mama talk about your daddy, your grandma talk about your daddy, your brothers and sisters talk about your daddy, and your daddy was no good. And you sit down there and you just accept everything about your daddy. You bring that into your spiritual walk with Christ. And the first sign of a naysayer coming talking about your spiritual daddy that begot you in the faith, that made miracles happen in your life and bless you and raise you up, amen. The first time they start talking about him, look what you do. How you gonna do that to me, man? How you gonna do that to me? What have I done to you? Who have I not been good to in here? For you to play the Judas. And for you to go about listening to naysayers. Every business you have, I support. When you have need, if you call the church, I'm going to be there. How you going to do that? How you going to do that? How you going to do that? Now listen, Mr. Tyrone, check this out. If what I'm saying is true, we know that the other Hebrews are imposters. Now, we got to ask the question, who the true Hebrews? If what I'm saying is true, Brian Mitchell, if what I'm saying is true, and the devil had a plan to misidentify who the true people of God is, but God is raising up his people again, out of the ashes, beauty is coming forth. The dry bones are starting to come together. There's a shaking, a movement, and an army is rising up. Listen to me. What you think the devil would do? You think he'd sit back and watch it happen? Or you think he would attack? Now, where would the devil attack? Would he attack me to my face, the strong? Would he attack any other strong in here? You know who he going to attack first? The weak. The ones with already issues. The ones mad about other things. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see? The Bible says give no place to the devil. And when you got some things in your heart, whether it's because your daddy damaged you or because you're mad because I made a decision about your ministry or your life, or, amen, somehow, I don't know, you think that from the foolish pride of your life, somehow you more than me. It could be anything. But because of those things, the devil see those things. And he say, oh, She got that. He got that. I know where I can get in. And a whisper. He not preaching the gospel. He put his picture on the flyer. He don't want everybody saved. Oh yeah, you're alive. You're a major lie. Listen to me, man. Listen, I preach that gospel to anybody. And you done seen in this church white and black coming to this altar. I put the gospel on KJN. You know who mostly listening to that? I'm on Family Vision. You know who mostly watching that? And somehow I don't want to preach the gospel to everybody? Now, what I will agree with is this. My motive, my ministry is aimed towards a certain group of people. I'm not going to deny that. I've been called to the Hebrews. You understand what I'm saying? Now, does that mean if somebody else in the audience going to hear the gospel that somehow I'm going to stop them, Miss Sharon, from coming to the altar? No, you can't come. But I'm called to the Hebrews. Now, those that don't know their Bible, know a few scripts, they don't know their Bible. They don't understand that within the body, you got different members in the body. And different people call to different parts of the body. The foot can't worry about what the hand doing. Listen, listen. I'm part of the unity of the body, but I'm called to a certain portion of that body. You understand what I'm saying? And like Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles, Peter was the apostle of the Hebrews. And Paul couldn't be Peter, and Peter couldn't be Paul. Don't try to make me something that I'm not called to be. I'm called to my people. And you being my people, if you wasn't a Benedict Arnold, you should be happy I'm called to. Oh, going traitor, Judas. You should be happy I'm called to your people. When was the last time somebody was called to this people? You should celebrate. But you're so caught up on other things, not knowing your Bible. I've been called to this. I've been called to this people. From the very moment we opened this church, before I even figured it out to myself, I was called to these people. We playing other kind of music. We got all kind of people in leadership. And guess who was coming? Hebrews. The more we try to appeal to the other one, the more Hebrews came. What anointing is that, Pastor? What calling do you have? To the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write. He that is holy. He that had the key of David. He that opened it and no man shut it, and shut it and no man opened it. I have behold your works. You've kept my word. You've not denied my name. Behold, I set before you an open door. And no man can shut it. You see what I'm saying? What is the door about? The door is for the key of David. What is David? Yehuda. What is Yehuda? Judah. What is Judah? The Hebrews. What is the Hebrews? You're looking at them. That's the key that I got. Now listen, 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 listen. I'm called to the Hebrews. Our ministry is going to get our people. Our ministry won't stop till we all off drugs, we all out the ghetto, we all living good, we all worshiping and praising the Lord. That's where I'm called to. Now listen, listen, listen. If you're not called to that, that's fine. Go. Go. Don't try to mess up my vision that God given me from the Most High. Because if you come in with another vision, that's what we call division. I'm called to the Hebrews, dog. If you're not called to the Hebrews, call the hell open that door for me. Mike, go open that door, Mike. Somebody in the back, open that door back there, please. Usher, open that other door as well. Listen, listen, listen. All the doors are open. If you're not part of Go and Get Your People, and you're stuck on trying to go get somebody else, you're not part of this ministry. Get up and leave. Get up and leave. Get up and leave. Listen, y'all can close it, brothers. If I had time, I'd do like Moses. I put a line in the middle and I say, who with me? That's what I'd say to you. Who with me? Who with me? The reason why I ask this is this. If you can't run with the footman, how in the world are you going to run with the horses? Brother Steve, they having trouble with regular folk coming against this. Don't you know that when we rise as a people, it's going to be governments and nations trying to put us down so we won't rise up to be who we supposed to be? If you can't deal with the little maid and you're going to deny me in front of her or him, how in the world are you going to deal when we're on a world level and God's people are back? So the issue is this. If you can't take it now, go ahead and leave. I'm telling this to ministers, deacons. I'm telling this to ministry heads, 12 leaders. Because one thing about Philly, listen, we a church of interchangeable parts. If anybody leave, we're going to just take another alternator, put it right back on there, and we're going to keep rolling. Don't you know that people leave and you don't even remember their name? They're like, huh? And most of the time, before somebody leave, God done already raised up somebody right on them to fill it in and do a better job than that. Listen to me, man. Listen to me, man. Listen, listen, listen. Listen. Go, man. Go. You see me? I'm locked and loaded, dog. While the mother church is giving, hallelujah, festivals and feasts and memorials of appreciation to officers, who throwing feasts, appreciation, and showing love to the people with murdered sons and husbands? Who going out there to get them? All right. My wife say, don't do it. You sure? Because she know, man, she know I get raw. Because I feel like Moses. When Moses called to her people, and the people talk about Moses from the very beginning that Moses came up. Now, Moses just had a burning bush experience. He took off his shoes. This is holy ground. Moses could have stayed in Egypt, made money, be blessed. But Moses was more concerned about his people than the people that he was in. Don't you know that I could still be doing my thing in the world? Listen, listen. I ain't never had a problem preaching in other churches, no. I ain't never had a problem with that. Don't you know one of the biggest churches on the south side done told me, listen, look. When we started filling, you know what they told me, Raven? They told me, listen, come and preach and serve with me. It ain't because I can't go serve over that. Now, you probably can't go serve over that. But I can go serve over that and be in leadership. One of them told me, listen, I'm going to buy you a car. I'm going to pay you a salary. We're going to have the biggest church in Lafayette, multicultural. I said, no. My people need me, dog. My people need me. Look, look, I can tell your names. Another pastor B, come up, tell me, man, listen, I'm going to make you this. Look, we're going to do this together, man. I can tell you his name, B. I can tell you his name. I said, nah, dog. Call to my people. And if you think about me, why am I here? You think I'm called to you because somehow that I can't go to another people that's going to build bigger churches and tithe bigger checks? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? You ever thought about that? You ever asked yourself that question? Don't you know I could be doing some other thing? Listen, the DA's office just talked to me, what, yesterday? Was that yesterday? What did they, Friday. You can always come back. I say, my dog, look. Look, no, man. Man, we got open and somebody just died, somebody just quit. But you can always come back. Yeah, I can come back. I can come back, I can practice, I can start a friend, we can rock it. Why are you doing what you're doing? I'm doing it for my people, man. They conferred among themselves. They ain't never talked to God. They never talked to God. They shushuing among themselves. Now listen to me. I'm going to tell you this. And I'm just sharing my heart. Can I share my heart, Miss Carol? You know, I can't preach but nothing from my heart. I'm real like that. Even if I get up here and try to talk about something else, I got to share what's on my heart. You know? I got to share what's on my heart. You know? They conferred among themselves. You know? The Bible says in Psalm 2, amen. Come on, let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. The Bible says in Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers, look what it says, take counsel together. Those little meetings they had, little shushu meetings. They take counsel together against who? Against the Lord. But not only the Lord, look what it says, and against his anointing. The Bible says, touch not mine anointing and do my prophets no harm. Mike, me and my wife, amen, every now and then we go through a little list every now and then. We go through a list of all the people that was against us. And we ask that question, we say, like the movie stars, we say, where are they now? This is what we do. Listen, from the very beginning, as I look at everybody, because you got to understand, I'm only doing this for the souls of men. I'm only doing this for Israel. And so I look at all the people that gave us the hardest times. And I look at where they at or what they going through. And the only thing I see, touch not mine anointed. And do my prophets no harm. They say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God say he's going to laugh at them when they come against his anointing. You say, Pastor, listen, Pastor, but what if you're wrong about the Hebrew doctrine? All right? Let's just say that hypothetically. Come on, be locking with me. What if I'm wrong? Not B. I'm not wrong, no. Oh, no, I'm not B. But what if? All right? What if? I get to glory. All right? I done lived a life preaching the gospel. 10 to 20,000 Hebrews done been saved. We done give campaigns all over the United States. A people has been transformed from being the dregs of society to actually being contributors to society. A nation is reborn. I get to glory and the Lord tell me, Omar, you was wrong, my son, about them Hebrews. But boy, you got a lot of them black boys here. You understand what I'm saying? That's a wrong I'm willing to take. Now, for those that, if they really knew their Bible, Tyrone, here's the deal. When you really know your Bible and you know the last days, Randy, when we figure out who we are, the other nations are going to be drawn to us. They're going to grab on to us and say, take us to your gods. Because our way is no longer working. The time of the Gentiles have come to an end. So people tell me, they say, yeah, but you're going after the Hebrews. Look how many other people you're just leaving out. You don't know your Bible. Because when we arise and be the people that we're supposed to be, they all going to come in. They're not coming in right now. Man. They're not going to come in right now because of that. They're not going to come in right now because of that. I know that's too deep for some of y'all. They conferred among themselves. Now, the problem with men conferring among themselves is that, y'all, if we don't include the Lord in our conversations and the way we think and the shoo-shooing, we're going to often end up on the opposite side of God. And in history, we see, amen, men conferring among themselves. Pastor, give us some examples. Well, right now, they're saying that all religions are one and that you can use any road to get to heaven. That's men conferring among themselves and not conferring with God. They say abortion is right and it's okay for you to kill your babies. That's conferring among themselves and not conferring with God. They teach it now with children that homosexuality is cool. Transgender is where it's at. And some of y'all people sending y'all kids to school like that. And some in here, amen, got a child that's actually operating in homosexuality that you don't even know. And when they do that type of stuff, they conferring among themselves and not God. Our nation and our world think that evolution is right and that nobody formed the universe. They never conferred with God. They are conferred among themselves. And when we take the Ashkenazis, the current, hallelujah, Khazarians that's living in the promised land, and we give them the promised land through the Balfour Declaration, and we began, amen, to call them Jews of the Bible, even though we don't understand their geography and their history. They never prayed about that and asked God about that. They conferred among themselves. I'm trying to show you a pattern that when men leave God out, what they come out with is totally wrong. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But Pastor, it just seemed right when they telling it to me. That's all right, because Proverbs 14:12 says there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. But Pastor, everybody feels this way, Pastor, and you have to be wrong because everybody else is saying that it's wrong. Proverbs 11:21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. But Pastor, the best minds on our planet came up with this. Certainly they must be right. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are high than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Listen to me. When men confer among themselves, they get the wrong answer every single time. In Genesis 11:6, the people came together without God. And the Bible says that God came down and looked and see what the people was doing, and they wasn't including him. He said, behold, the people are one, and they have one language. And this they began to do. What was they doing? Pastor, they was building the Tower of Babel, and they was trying to reach it up to the heavens so that they can storm heaven and take the throne of God, so God will never scatter the people and never cause a flood again like Noah. When men come together, it's usually anti-God when it is without God. He says, and this they began to do. He says, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Saints of God, listen to me. Listen to me. Confer with God. If you got questions about the Hebrew doctrine, the first thing you do, you pray to God. The second thing you do, you come and talk to me. Like that young man that came talk to me. Don't be no coward. Come talk to me. Oh, Pastor, you're going to eat me up with the scripture. It's what you need. Because you're confused right now. And if you don't know the truth, amen, maybe I can help you learn the truth. Listen, the other thing is, if you're not part of this vision, if you call to, amen, build some other kind of churches, amen, listen, you are free to do that. Nobody's forcing you to be here. Go. Go. But But you see, the problem with people going is this. When it all play out, and the income, and governments and economies crash down, and our people can't look to nobody else to help them, those that go, they gonna come look for me again. Because they're not down with you like you think. They're going to say, I know somebody who read it. And I know somebody who loved their people. But listen to me. All that backbiting, that stabbing, you know what I'm saying? I'm preaching this because it's a warning. I could take it for a little while, you know. But I'm not going to take it forever, you know. And I'm going to help you make a decision. You know, we're going to have an altar call. And the altar call is going to be like always, especially for the naysayers, for those that need to be saved. You're here and you don't have the new life that I talked about. You don't have the seed in you, the Spirit of God in you. You don't have that new heart. And you need to be born again. You're going to be able to come to this altar like I do 99% of the Sundays we hear. And you're going to be able to get saved. But there's going to be a second altar call. For those Christians who are damaged, who can't follow authority, who don't have a son's heart and a daughter's heart, but a rebellious heart, a stubborn heart, a heart that's been broken by ungodly parents and leaders, amen, that drug you through the mud and you ready to expect something wrong with the pastors and the leaders that God done put over you. You ain't never submit to nobody. Some of y'all. This altar call is going to be for you too. To come and make, amen, amends with your God and say, God, whatever's broken in me, fix it before I ruin some good. There are also some who've been talking and have not come to me. The altar call is going to be for you too. There's been some who've been listening and have not come to me. The altar call is going to be for you too. If you're a leader here, you know you was in my house and I gave you a chance months before I taught this, weeks before I taught this, to ask me questions. We come, I preach a series through it, do a question and answer series, service, amen, hallelujah, and look, ain't nothing. I ask y'all after the question and answer, I say, who with me, everybody? Oh, we with you. And then what happened after that? Oh, I could tell you what happened. An enemy. Satan. What is wrong with going get your people? Boy, they messed us up, huh, B? B, they messed us up, huh? B, what is wrong with going get your people? We not worth it? I'm going to ask you up in here. If you're with me, stand with me and put your hand up like this. And you don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to because, look, you can go. This is my calling. I can't be nobody else for you, no. I got to do what I'm called to do. We're going to have an altar call. If you fall into those above mentioned categories, I want you to come to this altar. Be saved, be delivered, be prayed for, and be built up. When the music starts, you can come. 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 Can I be honest with you? You know how much it hurts when you give your life for people? When you give up your profession and your career. All for the good of a people. And that people talk about you. When you walk with them through drug addiction, divorce, when you bury their family members, when you're studying all night just to get a word from heaven, and that people talk about you. I know you see me as pastor, but listen, I got feelings too. And that hurt. Just asking you, man. Just stand with me. I'm not preaching another gospel. I'm not going to dress us in all kind of Israeli garbs and go out there weird and crazy. I'm not going to be trying to mess with your wives or your daughters. I'm not in no open sin. I just believe in you. More than you believe in yourself. I just believe in you. And I believe that you're special. I believe that you got purpose and you have a calling. And if I'm wrong for believing in you, then so be it. But don't stab me in the back for loving you. Don't do me that. Don't do me that. Just stand with me. Just stand with me. We're going to pray. I want you to say, Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring about me and my people. I love you, man. Giving my life for you, dog. The stuff that I'm talking about for you will get me killed. And I'm doing it, and I will gladly die for you. I love you, man. Lord, I admit I'm a sinner. And I'm not perfect. But I believe you love me. You died on the cross for me. You were buried in the grave. And on the third day, you rose. Lord, save me, a sinner. And help me to live right. Fix me where I'm broken. Help me to trust you and the people you've put in my life. Take away the doubt. Show me the naysayers and protect them from me. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. why I'm here.